Well, it's a new year, and starting off our coverage on Biz News this year, very appropriately, is Rob Herzhoff, our go-to man on so many things, but particularly when it's new ideas. There's a piece on Biz News that you wrote looking at South Africa's potential through exploiting of energy resources that seem to have been forgotten somewhere in the political mix. Starting off with gas. Now, there's a lot of gas in South Africa. The reserves are enormous. However, there's an action group in the Karoo that doesn't want it to be exploited there. And there's an action group, environmental action group, off the Southern Cape Coast that doesn't even want it to be explored for. But already to this point in time, we know there's a lot of gas there. How big are these reserves, though, in a global context?
Well, Alec, you are load-shedded right now, okay? People on the streets can't afford petrol. I mean, people are losing their jobs. There's massive unemployment. How can these green activists, funded overseas, how dare they impose moratoriums and blocks on us for our energy sovereignty? How dare they do that? We've got fossil fuel and we've got almost infinite supply of gas, offshore and onshore. And they tell us, foreign-funded green activists tell us, we can't take advantage of what's under our feet.
Foreign-funded?
Foreign-funded.
Unpack that.
So 6-7 years ago, when the activists were at their full force of trying to stop what was called fracking, we call gas to power, most of the money came out of Germany. The activists that were in town were German. So it's international, it's not a conspiracy, this is reality. International funds preventing us from standing on our own feet and having energy sovereignty, because what they want us to do is import renewable technology, debt funded, the debt comes from them, which gives intermittent power, doesn't give us 24/7 power, and we're not allowed to exploit the resources under our own feet. And most of the money comes from overseas. And if you went to the majority of South Africans and asked them what their priorities are, the green agenda, I don't think even makes the top 10.
Now, I never thought I'd hear myself saying this, but that's a similar line to what we've been hearing from Gwede Mantashe, who has been pilloried for it in the media. Are you agreeing with him?
Yes, I'm agreeing with him. We need to not be embarrassed about our coal resources, and we need to utilize them properly. We need to not be embarrassed about enormous onshore and offshore gas, and we need to get moving and unlock that power. We can have energy independence in my lifetime. I'm 62, work that out. In my lifetime, we can have energy independence and be exporters of energy again. And Gwed is right. Now, where he's wrong is, one, he seems to be afraid of the international green agenda, and he needs Barbara Creasy and my buddy Enoch Gonagwana to stand up shoulder to shoulder with him and say to the international community, stuff you, we're South Africans, we've got the expertise. Private investors and the private market will step up and make this happen. And we're going to do it. We're going to produce domestic feedstock, domestic gas. You know, our refinery in Mossel Bay is mothballed because we can't get domestic supply. And yet we have to do wind and solar. Wind and solar, fine, but they're never going to give us the base load we need. So Gwede, from that respect, is right. Where he's wrong, because he's a communist, is he wants the government to do everything, which means it'll never happen, or the money will be stolen, will just fail. So the private sector, Gwede, should stand up, be courageous. I'm shoulder to shoulder with him on this one, but let the private sector do it.
It's so interesting, Rob, that we are being advised by people from outside of South Africa. And in this instance, as you've explained, even funding local activists. Are these useful idiots that are being used by some international agenda-driven organization?
Yes, yeah, 100%. But the international organizations that are funding them are not greenies. They're commercial animals like George Soros, who are just trying to force international technology, us to take more debt, and us to not be energy independent. They want us to be energy dependent upon them. That's what's going on. So the greenies are the useful idiots once again.
All right, now let's just say there's a magic wand and Pretoria agrees with Rob Herzhoff on this one and decides to go ahead and to exploit these enormous reserves that the country has. There's no debate about that, about the reserves we have. How would they be able to do that, to overcome it, given that we are signatories of the Paris Agreement, which says South Africa is going to reduce its reliance on carbon, etc.?
But gas is that solution. You know, gas is clean, abundant, and domestically produced. It's easy to access and done in a professional and environmentally friendly way. Canada, the US, and other countries have been producing onshore gas for decades. And they, you know, it's become very professional. They do it environmentally friendly. They check the water tables. I don't know why we're not doing it. There is a moratorium, by the way, which I expect to be lifted this month or next month. So, you know, the government dither as usual. You know, we really need Guedes to get support from Enoch and say Barbara. Those three could push this through at the ANC level. And I would applaud them if they got on with it, stop dithering and stop being afraid. And then capital is available, expertise is available. This will happen very, very quickly. And lots of jobs. This is the big thing. Take just the Central Karoo. You know, Beaufort West itself, if you do gas to power just in the Beaufort West area and offer free power in perpetuity to all Beaufort West residents, I mean, it'll be a boom town. Beaufort West will become a boom town.
And Gayton McKenzie will be a very happy man.
But, you know, he, to his credit, to his credit, he's been saying, we need to develop. We've got lots of sun, solar, lots of wind power, but we've also got tons of uranium. We should focus on nuclear and onshore gas. Rob, come and have a look. He got me refocused on this, to his credit.
I have been following the fracking story for many years. Gas it's been power. Difficult gas to miss. Power. Shell invested very heavily in exploring. Before Shell, during the apartheid era, we had something here called Sukor. And Sukor pockmarked the Karoo with its exploration. And it found this useless thing called gas, but it didn't find any oil. So it's pretty well known that the reserves that South Africa has of gas in the Karoo are enormous. But if memory serves, Johann Rupert was amongst those who was standing against the exploitation of this. Now, you and Johann know each other well. You worked for him. You were his sidekick for a lengthy period. Aren't you going up against that kind of strong commercial interest here?
So I think that the story people think is the case isn't the case. So I don't think Johann Rupert is against onshore gas exploration production. I think he's actually in favor of it. But I think, and I may get this wrong, I think that one of the Shell subsidiaries had chosen as a partner a Gupta-linked entity. And because it was in the Zuma era, everything that happened, you felt who's behind it, who's inside it. And I think Johann Rupert and G.T. Ferreira and the other people pushed back, not because they didn't want it to happen. They just felt these were the wrong people doing it. They were the sort of bad guys. So to his credit, I believe Johann Rupert and G.T. Ferreira stood against it. But they're not against onshore gas production and exploitation, in my view. I think they're actually in favor of energy sovereignty and doing it that way. The Greenies had the momentum. The Greenies are on the back foot right now. I mean, even Oscar van Heerden, of all people, has kind of said, you know, let's do the power ships. I mean, let's bring them on, but let's do them now. I mean, even Oscar van Heerden realizes momentum is against these lunatic Greenies and their nonsense agendas.
Let's just say that it goes ahead. The government manages to stop dithering. It brings in the private sector where the capital is. The government doesn't have capital to exploit this. How long would it take? And I ask this because let's just use Mozambique as an example. The Mozambique LNG project, which is enormous. It's $20 billion. It dwarfs the size of the Mozambican economy. It was discovered in 2010, and it's only going to be pumping the first LNG in 2024. All right, they've had terrorist attacks and all kinds of things, but that is a 14-year period. If we stop dithering today, is it going to still take 14 years for South Africa to see any benefit?
Offshore, 2 years, in my view. You know, we've got the refinery in Mossel Bay. Everything's ready. you know, the rigs are out there. Total has been working very hard. They're ready to go. I think in 2 years we'll have gas, feedstock gas, into our offshore into the system. For onshore, it might be 24 to 36 months.
24 to 36 months. But why so quick and why so long in Mozambique?
Because I think Mozambique suffered from exactly the problem that we are facing right now. You know, government incompetence, dithering, fear of the international community, over-focus on environmental issues, you know, the legal and regulatory hurdles. If you let capital and operating expertise get to work unhindered, things happen quickly, effectively, and cost-effectively. So we could be producing gas, but not in enormous amounts, 24, 36 months, onshore and offshore.
You may recall the research done by the late Tony Twine. He was an incredible economist. He couldn't see. He was blind. And yet he made a massive contribution to South Africa. He passed away some years ago. But he did a focus for Econometrics on exactly this issue. And he was talking about hundreds, literally hundreds of thousands of jobs being created by the Karoo, what do you call fracking nowadays?
Gas to power.
Gas to power by that project. Was he exaggerating or is it a similar research?
Under-exaggerating. There's a million jobs waiting. If you open the floodgates, allow the private sector to go in, if the government only creates the framework for investment, you'll have international and local capital pouring in and African capital. You know, I've got a couple of Nigerian friends that are keeping a very close eye on what's happening here on onshore gas. They want to invest. So there's tons of capital and it can happen very, very quickly. And I mean, you know, you should buy high street homes in Beaufort West because it'll be the biggest boom town maybe in the world very quickly. And jobs are plenty. This will solve a lot of problems.
So what's stopping it?
Well, the greenies funded by overseas were the big obstacle. Now, you know, Gwede stood up and we need Barbara Creasy and Enoch Godoglana, who's, I think, delivering a report to the Treasury at the end of January. They need to stand up and say, this is what we're doing, end of story, and get private sectors to stand shoulder to shoulder with them. You know, I'm happy to stand up and there are a lot of others who will too. And let's just tell the international funders of the greenie activists to stuff off. We want to stand on our own 2 feet as South Africans, you know, and we've got the ability to do so. We want to be energy independent and not reliant on them anymore. We can do it.
You've got a record. Two of the BizNews conferences of standing up and saying things as it is. You say others will stand with you on this. Can you name any?
Funnily enough, I always name names, but you've caught me on the back foot here. I mean, there are all the people in the oil and gas, you know, Renogen, all the people in the oil and gas industry, all the private guys will pour right in and support. You know, I'm sure Total and Shell, you know, Shell's probably burned out of South Africa, but Total and Shell and some of the big corporates. But we also really need some of the, you know, leading, you know, business names and, you know who they are, to say, look, we support this. They can even do it in a very calm and subtle way. But I think I can pull people together behind this and alongside Gwede, Barbara and Enoch.
So I'm off to Davos next Friday. It'll be my 18th visit to the World Economic Forum, which has got a lot of revving recently. I don't agree with a lot of what's of the criticism, but I do know that the World Economic Forum, since they had that 8-year-old Greta Thunberg crying or telling the business community what they should be doing, they've been very in favor of renewables and very anti-fossil fuels. What should I go, what if you were in my shoes there, where would you be heading? What would you be listening to? What are the arguments that one can contend against the what you've described to us now is quite a strong global agenda?
So I also agree with you. I don't think there's a coordinated WEF agenda. I mean, the fact that Schwab said the great reset and then everyone went conspiracy theory. I agree with you. I mean, I've been to Davos. It's a bunch of people wandering around trying to work out what's going to happen next. Yeah, it's networking. It's not a secret society. I mean, it's crazy here. But, you know, Greta and her loony, greeny friends, I mean, there are some sensible environmentalists, okay? So my brother-in-law, for example, co-head of the Green Party in New Zealand, works with business on a green agenda. That's the way to do it. But these sort of mad leftist activist greenies have had their foot forward for too long. But with energy prices through the roof, people can't heat their homes. They can't, you know, afford petrol. They can't, we're getting load shedded. The greenies on the back foot. And this Davos needs some prominent names to stand up and be counted. I don't know who they are. You know, the Neil Froneman of Davos needs to stand up. And hopefully a European, maybe even a German would be nice to say, but the time has come. We need to use fossil fuels sensibly.
What I can tell you was in one of the off-the-record sessions with the IMF managing director, she did say that the time for political correctness is now over. We have real economic issues that, and I'm sure she wouldn't be upset that I quoted that, because it was really very much the thrust of what she was trying to tell us at that little grouping.
Alec, the pendulum has swung. It swung against the wokies, against the lefties, against the mad greenies. Look, sensible greenies have a point. They really do, but there's got to be a balance.
But here in South Africa, if I hear you correctly from what you're saying, is, guys, the time has come now, the international environment is such, to open our eyes to the reason why we have not been using this incredible resource that the country has, the gas, both onshore and offshore. And we now should be taking responsibility for our own sovereign energy. And if anybody is trying to tell us to move away from fossil fuels, get stuffed. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah, the time has come. And I think we have, you know, Guedes stood up. He's Mr. Coal, but I think he can also be Mr. Gas and Mr. Nuclear. And he will get support from me and a lot of other people. He needs to be strong now and not dither and push it through and let the private sector do it. You know, he has a chance now to redeem himself.
Okay, but the media is very anti-Guedi. And just about anything the guy says is he's getting
smashed. Yeah, because
smashed.
He's dug his own hole, and you know, this is his last gasp. So this is his way to redeem himself. I mean, otherwise he'll go down as a, you know, Madala communist, which is not what you want to be remembered for. But Cyril gets bullied overseas. I'm sure Cyril goes and hangs out with the billionaires and all these powerful people. They go, green agenda, green agenda. And he just caves in because he is rather spineless, I have to say.
But we have got that big loan that the country's been granted as part of the green agenda, $6.5 billion.
Yeah, they're buying us. They own. That's how they own us. They force us to take technology, force us to take their loans, and they own us. We need to stand on our own 2 feet for once.
Is this something that happens in Africa? You've got Invest Africa. You spend most of your time in other parts of the continent. Is this a recurrent theme?
It's not as blatant as with South Africa, because, you know, we are the most industrialized country in Africa. And of all the everything under the earth, one thing we've lacked is, you know, petrol, but we've got gas. So Sasol was a game changer. I mean, my grandfather founded Sasol, but that was a game changer for South Africa because it filled a gap of the one thing we didn't have. But we need to have that entrepreneurial confidence again and say we can do it ourselves, and we can. This one's easy. We have, I think, the seventh largest shale deposit under our feet, and we're not touching it.
Time so what are the signposts for South Africans to watch out on here, or how can others who agree with what you've said, and it's a compelling argument, how should they react, or how can they support you?
One, the moratorium needs to be lifted, and I think it's going to happen January, February. Two, our Finance Minister Enoch is going to make a presentation on this to Treasury at the end of January. So the next 30 to 45 days are crucial. And let's open the floodgates. Let's go. Let's be energy independent.
I know the President and the Finance Minister are going to be in Davos. I will try and press them if I have the opportunity on this whole topic. Let's hope that they, at least off the record, if not on the record, have something positive to say, or negative, you know, whichever. But thanks, as always, Rob Herzog, for sharing your views and insights. And we will be following this story. It could be potentially the game changer for South Africa. Let's see if we are able to do that. Rob Herzog, entrepreneur and the man behind Invest Africa, and I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.